Hey, we get to start a new series today in the book of 1 Corinthians, and it's called I Have Issues. Not you, the person next to you has issues. And we're going to be starting that today. And as we get into it, let's open up in a word of prayer and we're going to get started, okay? Father, we come into your presence just humble before you, Lord. We're asking that you open our eyes and our ears, Lord, so we can see what you're saying, what you want to speak to our heart. Father, I believe that you have a specific word for somebody here today. I believe it with all my heart. And so, God, we just come to you and we lay aside every burden. We lay aside every care. We lay aside every anxiety. God, whatever we come in here with today, I just pray that for the next few moments that we can just lay it to the wayside. Have your way in this message, Lord. Have your way in our life. In Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen. So if you got your Bibles, let's jam on over to 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And like I was telling you guys, we're starting a series today called I Got Issues. And I should have called it, I got, after Wednesday night's Bible study attendance, I should have called it, I got issues with making it to church on Wednesday night. If you're around Wednesday night at 6, come out, because we're going through the whole book of 1 Corinthians chapter by chapter. On Mondays, we're picking out some issues that we deal with. But if you guys want a big picture and you want to study the Word of God and learn what's going on, come out on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock for the book of 1 Corinthians as we're continuing to go through it. Now it says, just a little heads up on it, it's called 1 Corinthians, but it's actually 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians is actually 3 Corinthians. And the reason why that is Paul has previously written to the church in Corinthians, but that letter was lost originally. So this letter is like 2 Corinthians and then 2 Corinthians, 3 Corinthians. And if you guys are all mixed up, just wait 10 minutes and I'm going to get you really mixed up. So this is the Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. And the reason why he's writing this book is he got a text from somebody by the name of somebody by in Chloe's household. I don't know who Chloe was, but this person had a household. And they were sending a text back to Paul saying that the church back in Corinth was going crazy. People are going nuts. Paul planted this church, and after he left the church, there was all kinds of weird stuff coming up into the church and was going nuts, off the rails, like Jerry Springer type stuff. And we'll get into it in just a second. But let me read verses 1 through 8 to set the context of where we're going to be going today. And we'll set the context of the message today. Are you guys there? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you're there, say I'm there.
I'm there.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. I love Sosthenes, and I don't have time to break him down to you guys, but besides having a cool name, he's got a cool past. When you guys go into Acts chapter 18, you see who this guy was. He was a leader of the Jews. He was the leader of a Jewish synagogue in Acts chapter 18 in Corinth. Well, anyways, long story short, he was talking trash about Paul. He was tweeting bad stuff about Paul. He wasn't liking any of his Facebook stuff. He tried to get Paul thrown in jail. And what happened was all of Sosthenes' friends were egging him on to get Paul thrown in jail because he was preaching the gospel. Well, when he tried to get him thrown in jail and it didn't work and the judge set Paul free, you know what Sosthenes' friends did to him? They beat him up. They beat Sosthenes up. Which tells me, and how we see Sosthenes is here with Paul as a good friend. Did you know sometimes the world's got to beat you up to get you to come to Christ? Sometimes you got to go through some things before you get with the Lord. And Sosthenes, he had gotten beat up. And you know what he said? Forget you guys. I'm giving my life to Jesus. And I'm going to hook up with the one that I was trying to come against. So now we see Sosthenes there with Paul. And in verse 2, Paul says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them which are sanctified, say that with me, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace. Little side note, whenever you read Paul's writings and when he starts out always the same. Grace before peace. Because you're never going to have peace unless you've experienced God's grace.
Amen.
Amen. We got to experience God's, we've got to have the grace of God if we're going to have peace. You having a three-day weekend isn't going to give you peace if you ain't got Jesus. So Paul says, starts out with grace and peace to you. And he says, from our God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. He's thanking God for them. That's a good reminder that we need to thank God for those around us. Amen? Amen. When God's blessing somebody else, we need to be thankful that he's blessing somebody else, that he's blessing our neighbor, right? Because that just says he's in our neighborhood, right? Let's remember that. Let's remember to bless those people around us when God's blessing them. In verse 5, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you. Say confirm. It's important. Who shall confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, when we start this series, I've got issues. I want to talk to you guys on this subject of, I have issues with my Christianity. I got issues with my Christianity. The movie Aladdin came out last week or so ago. How many of you guys saw it? I love, just so you guys know, if you want to know what my favorite movie is, it's Aladdin. I love the cartoon. It's, I can sing it to you. I can show you the world. I'll sing the whole thing. I know the whole movie by heart. I do. I'm a sucker. I'm telling you, I love that movie. I don't know what it is about it, but maybe it's because I grew my kids up watching that. And so anyways, Ruth and Esther, my grandbabies and brother, and Judah, they've never been to the movie before. And so I was trying to get Randall and Punk to let me take them to the show by ourselves. We didn't want the parents going. But Randall and Punk were saying, you know, it's their first movie. We want to be there too. So I'm like, just sit in the back and we'll be in the front and you guys can come. So anyways, we take the kids and of course we're all sitting together. And man, when they've only seen Aladdin on my iPhone. And so when they were in the movies, can you imagine what that's like for a kid? To see Aladdin in the big picture, it's like Papa's iPhone on steroids. They're like nuts, and their eyes are huge. And Ruth, it was so cool because there was times where Ruth was laying on my chest, and we were watching, and then she would go and lay over with Randall, and then sister would come and lay on my chest, and their eyes were so big, and it was just so cool, and it was amazing. Well, anyways, after the movie, we get in the van, and Ruth's eyes are still this big, and she's not speaking. Because, like, she had totally been blown away. Like, the effect of Aladdin was still in her heart, and her eyes were just, like, crazy. And so Cicely looks at her, and she goes, Ruth, you're being weird. And Ruth is, like, 4 years old, and she didn't even know what to say. And the whole time, her head's just, like, this big. Well, anyways, it was so cute because the next morning, Ruth woke up, and she looks at her mom. She goes, look, Mama, I'm not weird anymore. I'm good. Like, I slept it off and I'm good. I started thinking about my Christianity with God and how sometimes I just want to wake up in the morning and say, look, Lord, I'm not weird anymore. I got it. Like, I got all my issues. It makes sense, Lord. Like, I'm not weird anymore. Check me out. But the reality of it is that I've got issues with my Christianity. Now, I'm going to tell you guys, well, I'm going to preach some stuff here in a minute. And I'll tell you right now, I guarantee you, there's going to be pastors, they will not preach this. And I even prayed about it because it rocked my world. The more that I read the Word of God and God shows me, do you know the more he blows my mind? Are you guys not having your mind, hey, if you're not having your mind blown, it's because you're not in the Scriptures checking some stuff out. Hey, listen, so this is the issues that I was, when I was reading through this, Paul was showing me with my Christianity. And one of them is confidence. Where I place my confidence. Anybody got an issue with confidence? Oh, you're confident when things are good, but I guarantee you, you got a problem with confidence. We also got a problem with being saved and yet sinning. Well, it's getting quiet, so I know I'm hitting you, okay? And then we also got an issue with believing God hasn't given up when we have. And so what Paul does is when we start out 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're just going to go through a few verses. And I want to show you something about these issues with our Christianity. When Paul's talking to the church in Corinth, they know they're saved. Look at verse 5. He said, "You were enriched in everything by him and in all utterance and knowledge." So they knew that they were saved. The problem was they weren't living what they knew. Sound familiar? And what they were going through in the church was all kinds of issues in their Christianity. They were back-talking each other. They were talking trash, and they were gossiping about the church, and they were gossiping about people in the church. They had sex issues like nuts. One guy was sleeping with his mom. Oh, my bad. Maybe it was his stepmom. We don't know. But either way, if mom's in it, it's nasty, right? Can I get an amen? I mean, let's agree on that. And so some guy was sleeping around with his mom or his stepmom. They're stabbing each other in the back. They're suing each other. Their marriages are train wrecks. Paul had to tell them, hey, each one of you have your own wife. They were coming to church, and even their worship wasn't working. They were getting drunk during communion. They weren't honoring God. This church is just completely off the rails. And to see where they were coming out of, let me read to you 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, to show you what these people were involved in and what was going on in their life. Paul said, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, coveters, drunkards, revilers, nor extortioners." They had mafia in the church. "Will inherit the kingdom of God. As such were some of you." As such were some of you. And so their issues that they had creeping back up into the church wasn't that they didn't know that they were saved, because Paul says they did. It was they weren't living like they were saved. And the reason why is because they had issues with their Christianity. And so what Paul does is he shows us how to deal with some of these issues. And the first one, if you're taking notes, and I hope that you are, write this one down. We need to have a confidence in Christ. Number one, we got to have a confidence in Christ. You see, we've got confidence in all kinds. Confidence is weird, isn't it? You know, people are tattooing confidence on their collarbone. They're taking selfies at the gym with their water bottle that says hashtag confidence. We grow our kids up and we tell them, be confident, right? Be confident. Be strong. Be confident. You can do it. And so we've got this thing about confidence, but listen, false confidence is no confidence. And if we're going to get through the deepest issues in our life that you're facing, that you will face, I don't care the kind of confidence you got in you, you need to have it in him. That's the only thing that's going to get you through what you've either need to get through now or what's coming that you're going to have to get through later, is confidence in Christ. And that's what Paul got him through a lot in his life, was that he had confidence in Christ. Now, when we look at verse 1, it looks like Paul's just simply introducing himself. I, Paul, what's he say? I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But the reality of it is he's standing in huge amounts of confidence in Christ right there, because the church had been attacking Paul, saying he was ripping off the church, saying that he was a small guy, weak in power, didn't know how to preach the gospel very good. He wasn't reading the latest books on Amazon on how to preach and keep people's attention. And there was people dividing against him, and they were trying to thrash him as an individual and a person. Has anybody ever talked about you behind your back? Tried to thrash you? Set you up, said all kinds of things about you? And if you listen to them, you know what's going to happen is it's going to mess your confidence up, because once you hear things enough, you start believing it. And that's the problem. Because, see, the reason why they didn't get to Paul is because Paul didn't let him get to him. He had his confidence in Christ. He didn't have his confidence in Paul. And you see, they can't, nothing, if we've got our confidence in the right place, it changes everything. Paul knew the Bible. He had a family background that was respectable. He was blameless with the law. But yet in all of that, he never put confidence in his flesh, but he put confidence in the Lord. And he knew, and you know how he learned how to do that? Because there was a time he had confidence in himself, didn't he? But the Bible says that God let a thorn come into his side. Now, we don't know what this thorn was. It was probably something spiritual because Paul never complained about nothing physical. You know, we wake up and we're like 25 years old and we got back pains. Oh, my gosh. Shut up. You guys don't know nothing yet, right? Amen? I got arthritis and you're like 15. Paul never complained about body aches, but this was a spiritual issue that he says God allowed in his life that he prayed that he wanted out of his life, but God left it there so that he would be humble and have confidence in Christ. Can I tell you that God will leave something that you want to go? He'll put somebody in your life you don't want in your life. He'll leave an issue there that'll make you trust on him. He said, I had a thorn in my flesh, and so he knew not to trust in himself, but to trust in God. I wonder if you guys have ever had confidence in yourself, and it went bad. I bet we had some stories where you just thought you were it, and you were going to be the man, or you had all this confidence in yourself, and it went bad. I remember when I first started teaching, there's this thing called homiletics, and basically you learn how to teach and to keep people's attention and all of this stuff. And man, I remember I would read those books and I would step up in the pulpit on Sunday. This was a long time ago, church. And I would be like, man, I'm going to get up there. I'm going to give them this point and they're going to rip the seats up they're sitting on. Just wait till I give them this point. And I'd be like preaching the gospel and I'm ready to hit the point. And I'm like, and here's my point. And I forgot. And it was like a couple years of that. And what it was happening is I was relying on systems and gimmicks and things to try to like have confidence in instead of having confidence in the Word of Christ. I was mixed up young and naive. Don't judge me. You guys have done plenty of things back in the day. But my confidence was misplaced. You know, I think if I go a little bit farther, if we're honest about it, self-confidence is the first step to you falling. You guys remember Peter? You remember Peter? We remember that he tried to cut that guy's ear off. Actually, he was going for his throat. He was trying to cut his head off. But Peter's a fisherman, man. He doesn't know how to fight, not with a sword. And by the way, Jesus, who are you picking for friends, right? Cut that guy's ear right off. And then he denied Jesus, and he wouldn't follow Jesus, and everything went bad, and we remember all of that, but do you know where it started? It started just before that when Jesus said, listen, the shepherd's going to get struck, and everybody's going to split, and Peter stood up, and he says, hey, Lord, although these flunkies are going to bail on you, I'm with you to the end. You remember? Do you remember? Do you remember those times you said that to the Lord? Lord, I'm never going to leave you. Lord, I'll never forsake you. It's interesting because the first step to him falling backwards was to having a self-confidence in himself and what he could do. So if you're here and you're like, man, I'll never do that. Oh, I'll never watch that. Oh, I'll never hang there. You better be careful because there's a scripture that says, if any man thinks he stands, take heed, lest he shall. And it's real. None of us, none of you, none of me is beyond falling into such sin that we wouldn't believe we even ended up there had it not happened. So there's this self-confidence. And what Paul, what he does is he stands up and he says, I'm an apostle. I don't care what you guys say. I'm the real deal. And I'm the real deal because Jesus made me that way. And so we got to remember when we have confidence, we have to have confidence in Christ. And there's someone here today, I guarantee it, and you're stressed out. You're overburdened. You're freaking out because you're in a situation right now and you don't know how the outcome's going to turn out, and you're looking at it like it's all on your shoulders. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know I'm talking to somebody. And you're like, this thing is all on my back. Well, that's where you're wrong. It's not on your back, it's on Jesus. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. Unload onto me. Trust me. Put your confidence in me. How cool is it that we can live a life? Check this out. I'm going to get to my next point in a second. But how amazing is it that we can live a life that we have a God, that we don't have to be the ones that feel like we're carrying the whole world, that He's got it? Is that not good? That we can come to the Lord and trust Him with everything. Because you know what? Some of you guys here, maybe you're having to raise your grandchildren. Or maybe you're raising those babies up by yourself and you got that weight on your shoulders. Or maybe you're having to take care of somebody else you didn't think you were going to have to be taken care of. Or whatever the case is, and you're looking at it through the wrong lens. Hey, Paul says, listen, if you got issues with confidence, you need to put your confidence in Christ, because people will trust in chariots and horses, but we shall trust, have confidence, and believe in Jesus. Amen? Amen. So we want to listen. Number one, we want to have confidence in Christ. But check this out. And the next, if you guys are taking notes, write this down. We have issues in our Christianity in being a sinner and being a saint. And right here, I'm going to mess with somebody's theology. Saint. You know, sometimes when we think of the definition of saint, we think of someone who never illegally downloaded anything off the internet or loves the IRS or was canonized by some ecclesiastical council. Saint. There's a whole different definition by the Word of God on what a saint and who a saint is. Check out verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now, I'm going to teach you a little something. When you see those words "to be" in italics, it means in the original text, it was not there. So if you guys are studying your Bible, and I hope that you do, and you see italics, just remove those words. They're put there to try to help flow. But they were not there originally. So what Paul is saying is to the church in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. Not called to be, because you're not called to be nothing. You are this. Big difference. Big difference. You are called saints, not called to be saints, who with all every place call in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. It's hard to believe that he's calling them saints because of what I just told you about this church, right? These guys get all pressured at work and then get impatient at home. Now, I know that's no fellas here. But their marriages are messed up. They're impatient with the people around them. They're fighting with each other. They're backsliding into temptation over and over again. And they've got authority issues big time. Now, I know nobody here's got authority issues. You guys listen with no problem. You go to work. Everything they tell you is good. I know, wives, you don't have any authority issues with your husbands, and you listen to them. And he listens to you. But in this church, it was a mess. And yet Paul calls them saints, even though they're living like ain'ts. And he says, you've been sanctified. Can I teach you some theology just for a quick second? Sanctified. That's a big word, and we need to know what it is, because you're going to see it all throughout the New Testament. And I'll just break it down 2 seconds. Sanctified means set apart for a purpose. So, like Wednesday night, I was telling you guys, in my bathroom, I've got 2 toothbrushes. I got one for my mouth, and I got one for the toilet. Now, you know what would happen if I got those two mixed up? And it's almost happened before. How nasty that would be? I guess what I'm trying to tell you guys is sometimes who we are gets mixed up with what we do. Oh, that was good. I didn't even have to look at my notes for that one. That was good. Thank you, Jesus. I think sometimes we get mixed up with who we are. Yeah, you're a saint, and what you do. And this is why this messes with some of our theology. Because what we look at, we see when people are doing right and they're being good, then they're good. But if you're honest with me this morning, there's times that you wake up in the morning and you just feel nasty. No reason for it. Nobody's messed with you. You went to bed with a full stomach, you got some bills paid, and you woke up in an ugly mood. There's going to be days where you just want to mess with people within a 100-mile radius just because you're feeling nasty and no other reason. Don't look at each other. Keep it up here. You know what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes you're just nasty. But I'm going to tell you guys something about it. Living holy, write this down. Living holy doesn't make you holy. And this is where I'm going to get a text from somebody on Facebook from Oklahoma. Pastor, I can't believe. Yeah, I'll say it again. Living holy doesn't make you holy. You getting your checklist off isn't going to, it doesn't get you checked off with Christ. And that's where we get all mixed up, because what we need to understand something, church, check this out. There's a fine line between sinner and saint, and it's called Jesus. That's it. Fine line between sinner and saint, and it's Jesus. When Paul says that they were sanctified, that means they were set apart. And here's where some theology comes in. The way the Bible looks at us, if this is boring to you, just hang in there for a second. I'll get to some other stuff in a minute. But when the Bible says you're sanctified, it means positionally speaking, you are made blameless and right with God right now where you're at. Nothing's going to change it. Nothing's going to take it away. It's the way that it is. And the way that it is because of who He is. So positionally speaking, you're good. Practically speaking, you're working that stuff out in your life every day. Because you know as well as I do, sometimes we don't get it right every day. But that's okay, because God is working us out. That's how come you're not as nasty today as you were 5 years ago. I pray to God. Like, I don't know, sometimes I think I know you, but maybe you're a little ornerier. God's still going to work it out of you, practically. But then there's perfectly sanctified. So we got positionally, we're good. Practically, we're working on it. And then perfectly, one day's coming where all this stuff is going to come together because of the person and work of Jesus Christ and the cross, and it all comes together, and we are perfect totally all the way around. Paul says, positionally, the church is sanctified as saints. Now, let me ask you guys something. Vicky asked me a question on Thursday night when I was putting this together. She said, Jason, do you feel like a saint? And I said, well, I don't know. It depends on what day it is. Like Sunday, I feel pretty good, right? Because we're here worshiping the Lord. But you catch me on a Thursday or a Tuesday, I would say Wednesday, but we're doing Bible study on Wednesday, so I'm praying to God all day on Wednesday too. But if I was to ask you the same question Vicky asked me, do you feel like you're a saint? Do you believe you're a saint? And I wonder if you would answer me the same way I answered her. It depends on what day of the week it is, because you know, Pastor, last week I wasn't in some holy places, I wasn't with some holy people, and I wasn't doing some holy things. But can I tell you that doing holy things doesn't make you holy? It's by the blood of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus, and it's been once and for all. And you're like, Jason, how is that so? Well, let me break it to you like this with an illustration. This may come as a shock to some of you, but our president doesn't always act presidentially. Now, that does not mean I voted or did not vote for him. But it means that he is still your president. That means that if you got the bumper sticker on the back of your car, it says, not my president. Oh, yes, he is. Diplomats don't always act diplomatically, but they are still diplomats. Christians don't always act like Christ, but they're still Christians. And here's why. Because it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of the Lord. So this is what I want to tell you guys. And we're going to get to this last point and close out. Hang in there. Are you guys hanging with me? Just say you're with me. Okay, cool. So listen. Now you could be like, okay, Jason, I can just do what I want then because, you know, positionally speaking, I'm good. Well, hit the brakes for a second. Don't let your position be an excuse for your bad practice. I said, don't let your position be an excuse for having bad practice. God has set us apart to be holy, to be blameless, to be righteous, to be light, to be salt, to be different in this world. And so we're good, that's true, but we don't want our position. We want to reflect our practice to our position. Check out what Paul said in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Paul said, don't you see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you away from sin? So you know how God turns us away from sin? He turns his kindness to us. Is that incredible? When you've blown it and made a mess, you know what God did? He says, this is how I'm going to fix it. This is how I'm going to get these people to start walking what they believe. I'm not going to give them what they deserve. I'm going to give them what they don't deserve. And that kindness is going to turn them from that sin and turn them to me. Because sometimes, you know, when we want people to see it our way, we're going to do it another way. But you know what God does? He says, I'm going to give them kindness. And you know what? God has been kind to you. God has been good to you. God has shown his favor on you. I'm talking to saints today. And there was a day where you were not. And it's because of his favor and because of his grace. And I'm going to tell you guys something. If your practice doesn't match your position, you're going to be saved and miserable for the whole rest of your life. Have you ever seen a Christian that looks like they've been beat up or not beat enough? I can't tell which one needs to happen. But they walk around and they're just a wreck all the time. You know why that is? Is because they got just enough Jesus in them not to enjoy the world, and just enough of the world not to enjoy Jesus. And if your practice doesn't match your position, this is going to happen to you. You think Jesus is going to change your life when you don't want change in your life? You remember the cripple? Do you want to get well? That always blows my mind when I hear Jesus asking a cripple that. Duh. Come on, Lord. Yeah. No. Because the reality of it is just because somebody's sick doesn't mean they want to get better. Amen? We know some people like this. So check this out. We want our practice to match our position. And worship team, come on up. We're going to close out with this. Write this down. Number 3. This is our last issue with our Christianity that we're going to talk about today. Believing that God hasn't given up when I have. Now, that probably may not matter to some people. Listen, if you don't know the Lord, if you're not saved, if you're not trying to do what's right before the Lord, this doesn't matter to you. But there's a lot of us in here who at times in your life, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know as well as I do, there's been times where you've given up. And if you haven't, then you're either not saved or you haven't been saved long enough. But there will come times in your life where you will give up and you will think that God has just given up on you too. But check this out in verse 8. Paul says, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, some of the times where in my life, and I got to be careful with how much I share with you, because if you share too much, people won't respect you. And if you don't share enough, they won't relate to you. So I got to be careful about this. But I want to tell you guys that one of the things about my walk with the Lord where I have gone off the rails was when I had messed up so bad and I had believed that being that that was the case, that I would just be done with God because I assumed that he was automatically done with me. Am I talking to anybody in here today? Because see, what happens is, listen to this. What happens to this is when you can fall into sin. Listen, we're going to close out. You can fall into sin so bad that the people around you will no longer want anything to do with you. You can mess up and people are going to say, listen, I'm tired of your excuses. I'm tired of the broken promises. I'm tired of being let down. You can get in a place in your life, I promise, where you are so far from God, the people around you are going to be like, I just don't want anything to do with you either. And you know what happens when that happens? You say, well, then I don't want nothing to do with you either. Am I right? You don't want nothing to do with me? Guess what? I don't want nothing to do with you neither. And sometimes in our walk with Christ, you can have a mentality like that. Like, man, I've blown it. It's a mess. There's no going back. I can't fix it. Everything's jacked up. I hear about the love of grace and I hear about God and all of this stuff. But the reality of it is that I'm just going to say forget this because he's forgotten me. God doesn't work like we work. God doesn't treat us like we treat other people. And what Paul says in this verse right here, he says, who will also confirm you to the end. And so I want to close out with this idea. The issues that we have with our Christianity, write this down. Jesus died for us to remove all of our issues with him. We've got no excuse. Jesus died for us to remove all of our issues with him. The more I read the Bible, the more it blows my mind the graciousness and goodness and long-suffering of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so today, maybe you guys are here and your confidence has been rocked. Maybe you're in that situation where you've been trying to trust on yourself, trust in your retirement, trust in your health, trust in whatever, and it's been getting rocked. Listen, it's a big issue, but you need to put your confidence in Christ. Put your hope in the Lord. For others of us, maybe you're sin, maybe you're saved, but you've been walking in sin. And if you look around at your life, you're saved. You know Jesus. You gave your life to the Lord. You were baptized. But you're still living in sin. If you look around your life, you're going to find out that you're in a place that you really don't want to be in. Maybe you're the miserable Christian. And if that's you, the Lord says, hey, if you come to him, he'll no way cast you out. And that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And if you're here today and maybe you feel like God's given up on you and because you've given up on him, listen, Paul says he's going to confirm you to the end. that God's in it to win it, and that he's faithful when we're not. Amen? Amen. Would you guys stand with me? I'm going to close this out in prayer. We're going to take communion this morning. And as we close this out, I just want to talk to the one here. Maybe I want to pray, actually. I want to pray for you. If you're here today and you're in that season where you've got misplaced confidence, I'm going to pray for you that you get your eyes back on Christ, that what's impossible for you is possible with him, and you need to get your heart right back with that. And listen, if you've backslidden this week, if you've gone back into some things that you swore to God you'd never go back to and you went back into it, listen, this is your time to make it right. And you can start again. And so listen, let's pray right now. So Father, I just want to lift up our church to you today, and I want to ask that, Lord, for every heart in here that's got issues, God, today with their Christianity, Father, with their confidence, Lord. Maybe they've backslidden. Maybe they've gone into some things, Lord, that's tearing them up. Lord, maybe they've quit because they feel like you've quit. This is the time, Lord, that we need to hear your word, that you died on the cross for us to remove all those issues with you. We thank you for that, Jesus. Father, today we're going to celebrate that and coming into communion. We thank you for that. And if you're here today and you've never put your hope, you've never put your confidence, you've never put your trust in Jesus, this is your opportunity. But you're going to need to ask him to come into your life. He's a gentleman. God is not going to push his way into you. We open our way up to him. And if that's you today and you want God to come into your life and you want your sins forgiven and you want to have a new hope, then what you need to do is just pray with me. You can just pray it in your heart. You don't even have to pray it out loud. God hears your heart. Father, forgive me of my sins. I pray that you wash me clean and make me as white as snow. I put my faith, I put my confidence, I put my trust in you, Christ Jesus. Lord, do a work in me. Change me from the inside out. Give me a new hope, Lord. Give me encouragement to know that you're my God and that you have my good and that you're preparing a place for me, Lord, to be with you ultimately through all eternity. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Let's give God praise this morning.